Technology is a gift from God. In fact, it's quite striking when you think about that word and where it comes from. Jesus is actually described in the Gospel of Mark as what was called a tecton. And that could be carpenter, could be mason, could be used more broadly, artisan, craftsman, someone who is able to use the gifts of tools. And so to enhance this world, we get our word tech. Jesus was a techie. And then, of course, the other word that's part of technology comes from the Greek word logos, which meant word or reason or rationality. You need to get out more. I need to get out into God and the world He created for us and this life. Classic statement from Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full and to have it with abundance." And technology is a great gift from God. We're thinking now about how do we use technology? Well, technology is a great servant, but it's a very bad master. Technology is a gift from God. In fact, it's quite striking when you think about that word and where it comes from. Jesus is actually described in the Gospel of Mark as what was called a tecton. And that could be carpenter, could be mason, could be used more broadly, artisan, craftsman, someone who is able to use the gifts of tools. And so to enhance this world, we get our word tech. Jesus was a techie. And then, of course, the other word that's part of technology comes from the Greek word logos, which meant word or reason or rationality. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, of course, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's logos, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." The logos is Jesus. He was the tecton. He was the logos. You cannot say the word technology without saying Jesus' name twice. So it's a great gift for us. But it can easily become a thief. And this is a general truth when it comes to the nature of life. C.S. Lewis wrote about this. The greater a good something is, the more destructive it can become if it turns bad. And ever since the story of the Tower of Babel, the human inclination to want to use technology to become our God and have it instead become what slaves us, to make a name for ourselves, to say we can use technology to achieve the ultimate goods that we want, to make ourselves like God, and then we end up becoming enslaved to it. It's very interesting. Jonathan Haidt, we're going to get to his book a bit today, has a Substack newsletter called After Babel. Haidt himself is not a person of religious faith, but he says Babel is the great metaphor for technology given to the human race. So we're figuring out how do we put technology in its place. I will remind you of a couple of core commitments from Andy Crouch's book, The TechWise Family. I'm not going to go through all 10. You can think about the ones that you are committing to now. One of them that I'm committing to, we are designed for a rhythm of work and rest. So 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year, we turn off our devices and worship, feast, play, and rest together. That's a killer, isn't it? And then another, we wake up before our devices do, and they go to bed before we do. I'll come back to what that might look like a little bit. And then one more. Spouses or friends have one another's passwords, and parents have total access to children's devices. In Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, he talks about how crucial experiences to human development. We have to plunge into experiences and experiences where there is risk. And that's one of the reasons why technology can draw us away from real life. We don't like to go through risk. But this is part of what he writes, what he's writing about children. And in particular, he's writing about how children have been impacted by the advent of technology and in particular smartphones. Part of what I want through this series is to be a blessing to some of the young children who are in my life, and I have them in my mind now, and I invite you to think about a child that you want to be a blessing to. Kittens, he writes, pounce clumsily on a piece of yarn that triggers specialized circuits in their visual cortex that evolve to make them very interested in anything that looks like a mouse's tail. Gradually, after many playful pounces, they'll become skilled mouse killers. Human toddlers clumsily run around and climb up, over, or onto anything they can until they become skilled at moving around a complex natural environment. With these basic skills mastered, they move on to more advanced multiplayer predator-prey games like tag, hide-and-seek. As they get older, verbal play gives them an advanced course in nuance and relational repair when they say something that produces a wrong response. This is how we grow. It's but through a process of experiences and then making mistakes. We had a child one time that when this particular kid would get angry, they would say, I bite you. It's like, no, that's not going to work. And then I hit you. No, we don't hit. That's not going to work. I spit on you. No, that's not allowed. And then finally, put two little fingers together like this and say, I squish you. And we thought initially, well, that sounds okay. I think we could get away with it. That's kind of cute. Until one day they came out of the nursery where their little baby brother was and saw that we were there. And they said, we don't squish the baby, do we? So we decided that squishing was not a good idea either. Here's part of what happens when we go through experiences. For little children, experience or life, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. For little children, that basically takes the form of play. Play with some degree of physical risk, Haidt writes, is essential because it teaches children how to look after themselves and each other. Children can only learn how to not get hurt in situations where it is possible to get hurt. How many times, if you're of a certain age, did you hear that instruction? Oh, put that stick down, you'll put your eye out. Very few children actually put their eye out by playing with sticks. And the role of experience, and in particular, experience with a certain level of risk where something may go wrong and often does, and failure often occurs, is essential to human development. This is what Haidt writes. Information does not do much to shape a developing brain. Play does. Experience, not information, is the key to emotional development. And I was so arrested by that statement in Jonathan Haidt's book because many, many years ago, one of the first times I went to a session where Dallas Willard was teaching, there was a little sign on the wall and he talked about it at some length. And he said, experience, not information, is the key to the transformation of the will. The will is transformed by experience, not information. Haidt talks about the difference between what he calls a play-based childhood, which is what we were made for, versus a phone-based childhood, a screen-based childhood. And I was thinking with Jesus, there's kind of a similar distinction between an experienced-based discipleship versus an information-based discipleship. He says to a group of religious leaders in John chapter 5, I think it is, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you find eternal life. They're the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I have come that you might have life. So to be a disciple, Jesus means I got to get out more. I got to get into the mind of God, and I need to bring Jesus into my experiences and invite him to be with me as I seek to love and engage with real people and trust and risk and make mistakes, because very often discipleship involves all kinds of mistakes. So the verse today is, I have come that you might have life, and have it to the full, and have it with abundance. And the idea today is that you embrace the experiences of your day, that you take a break from the screen on a regular basis, that I ask the question, is my engagement with this screen or this technology right now adding life to me or draining life from me? Thank God for technology. Jesus is in it when we put it in its right place. How do I go to bed well? Last night, I hesitate to tell you this story because this will make Nancy and me, particularly me, sound way more spiritual and mature and pious than we actually are. Nancy's throwing up a little in her mouth right now. But in the evening, what we did last night was we turned everything else off. We went outside. We had a little fire because if it's not 85 degrees, Nancy is cold. And then we listened to a sermon. So we're using technology, Tektone, Logos, to listen to a wonderful message by an old friend by the name of Lou Smeeds. And he talked about hope. Talked about how nobody ever does anything. No tech entrepreneur launches a company. No writer ever sits down at a keyboard and begins to type in words. No artist ever puts a brush to it unless there's hope. No parent ever has a child unless there is hope. But hope can break your heart. He talked about how he and his wife spent 10 years trying to have a child and they couldn't. And then they finally did. And then quite too early into the pregnancy, something went wrong and Doris, Lou's wife, had to go in and give birth to a child. The doctor said, you need to tell her that it's not going to be healthy. But then when she gave birth to the baby, it was a healthy little boy. The doctor came in and said, I have good news. And Lou, who said we'd been hoping and praying and then just hoping, went to Doris and said, see, I told you, gotta hope. But then 2 days later, that little child died. And Lou talks about how everybody needs ultimate hope. And that ultimate hope cannot be placed in technology. That's the Tower of Babel. Medical technology, as wonderful as it is, will not prevent every one of us from coming up against death. So we need to find a hope that's bigger than that. And Lou said, ultimately, that hope that we find is the hope in a God who is with us, not always to stop or prevent our suffering, but he's the God who suffers along with us. He is not just the God of suffering people. He's the suffering God of suffering people. And Jesus himself went to the cross. The cross was kind of the ultimate technology for Rome. The cross would be made by a tectone, and it was a way of showing everybody who was in charge. And Jesus is not just the master of technology. He's the victim of technology, and he transcends it because he intends to bring it under his lordship as everything else. I have come that you might have life. So today, embrace each experience, every encounter, every conversation with another person, every task that you have to do, every moment when you can look out at God's creation and think, what a wonderful thing that there is a sun and a sky and an ocean and a mountain and things that grow. Every meal, every bite that you taste, take a moment today as you walk through your experiences to invite the Jesus who said, I have come that you might have life. And then we're going to walk together through the depiction of life in the Bible that's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. J. Kim, in his book, has written about how often the fruit of the Spirit is contrasted with the kind of fruit that the thief, and sometimes even technology wrongly used, tends to breed in us. So we're going to walk through that together. You should get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.